I'm Alex Rodriguez.
And I'm Jason Kelly.
From Bloomberg, this is The Deal. Each week, you'll hear us in conversation with business icons.
This show will explore deal-making across sports, media, and entertainment.
That is a harsh lesson in business.
Sports is not as simple as bringing a bunch of big names together.
I didn't want to do another stomp you out speech.
It opened up so many more doors.
The show is called The Deal.
Listen to The Deal.
Listen to The Deal on Spotify.
Thanks for choosing this free Anfield Index podcast. If you'd prefer to listen to this or any of our other shows without adverts, then now's the time to check out Anfield Index Pro. With AI Pro, you can supercharge your entire listening experience. You'll not only get all of our podcasts without the ads, but you'll have them far faster with our quick publish feature available exclusively for subscribers. AI Pro also puts you in the heart of our sound studio, with an option to listen to many of our shows live and interact with the podcasters in real time as the shows are recording. Upgrading couldn't be easier. AI Pro is available on all popular podcast platforms, and we have our own apps for Apple and Android. Just head on over to AnfieldIndexPro.com and get started today.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to the latest Anfield Index Under Pressure podcast. My name's Dan Kennett, and with me to discuss the fantastic game against Manchester City, the win in the Europa League against Sparta Prague, and the breaking news today, I've got the rest of the team. I've got Sai, I've got Dr. Bart, and I've got Hamza from The Times. And there's only one place to start, guys, and that's just, I want your instant reactions, please, on the news, the breaking news that Michael Edwards is returning to Liverpool as the sporting chief executive officer, director of football operations. Above a sporting director, Sai, pretty spectacular news.
Yeah, it's exciting. You actually just filled me in. So
you've been that busy with Derby Ladies, you didn't even know.
Been ruminating all day, and I just figured it out. So it's exciting. It's kind of what was rumored, isn't it? So it's a little bit less exciting than it would have been 2 weeks ago. But it's all. I think it's great news. Like, it's what we all wanted on the pod. We hated him leaving in the first place, and the things that happened to facilitate him leaving, to encourage him to want to leave. And hopefully he can get the club back into the what was the world leading structure from top down, and hopefully he can lead that, and we get a great world class coach in to work alongside. I'm presuming it's the next Michael Edwards as a sports director.
Yeah, that's right. It's rumoured to be Richard Hughes from Bournemouth.
We talked about this a lot, like when we were at our best. I think us as a pod talked about this a lot while the world were just swallowing the Klopp Kool-Aid. That it was the top-down structure, the homogenous structure of everybody working interoperationally perfectly well, and people having set roles and trusting one another and working towards and utilizing everybody's individual expertise with the same goal in mind. And I think that works. That was the core, the essence, the golden thread that drove Liverpool's greatness, topped off by the brilliance of Klopp. But Klopp was perfectly aware of his limitations and happy to have Edwards facilitate those with better.
Well, he was happy until he was happy until
he got a little
wasn't.
Bit away from that.
Yeah,
and hopefully, Mikey can put a team back together, put another A team together.
Yeah, Hamza. You were recently, within maybe the last 2 weeks, you were lucky to sit down for 15 minutes or so with Michael Edwards, and you came away concluding that there's no way he's coming back to Liverpool FC. So it's a pretty spectacular turnaround, isn't it?
He said that he wouldn't be a sporting director ever again, which is true, I guess. He's not a sporting director.
Yeah. He wouldn't be a day-to-day anymore.
And that was a couple of weeks ago. And since then, he went to the MIT Sports Stone Conference. And I think that's where or just after that, that's when he met the FSG team, and they made their second proposal to him. He's had a number of offers from other clubs in different roles.
Maybe. Chelsea, Man United.
Well, yeah, the most have been reported today, I think, in our paper and a number of other papers. Pretty much most of Europe's top clubs were after him. There's one link that wasn't right. I think that was Real Madrid. And that's I don't think they ever approached him. But a number of other clubs did. So he's fielded a lot of interest. But this particular offer seems too good. But yeah, he'll be heading up the sporting operations. And one interesting thing was, when he was initially recruited, there was an idea that he would sort of work with not just the football side of the team, but the baseball side as well. I wondered initially if that would be true here, but the way that the press announcement has been worded, it doesn't seem like that. But yeah.
We should say it's an FSG statement that's been released, not a Liverpool FC one, isn't it? Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah. But yeah, so that means Ian Graham will still be doing the Nautics on his own, though, he might recruit some other people in. But yeah, it's really interesting, and I think it's a very good sign.
Yeah, and you also gave us a snippet on the warm up of somebody else who's back with FSG, another name from the past.
Oh, Theo Epstein.
Yeah,
yeah. You guys will know more about Theo than I do, just because of your sort of interest in baseball. But yeah, he also signed to FSG, and the way that it often works in the US, and a lot of international listeners will know this, is that the way that works is, so he signed, but he got a share of FSG as his signing contract arrangement. In football, that doesn't usually happen, but in sort of American business,
yeah,
he, as in private equity, that sort of stuff is a bit more normal. So in one way, it's sort of modernizing the football industry by having that sort of financial arrangement, and those sort of people that you'd often see in the financial sector now working in football, which is a positive, because that means you're attracting the brightest and the best minds that, and of course they're going to be compensated accordingly for that.
Mm-hmm.
But he's also on board with FSG, but you guys will know a bit more about Theo than I do, actually.
Yeah, well, Edwards and Epstein, that would be a very interesting lunch date, I have to say. Yeah, it'd be fascinating listening to those two. Right. But and more good news. So Bart's, what you've been championing this for a while, if it could happen, and you must be delighted.
Oh, amazing. I think I said to you after Chelsea, I thought they'd go back with one big bid for him, and they did. And I think for me, it's always about following the story in the media and seeing what comes out. And clearly, when he'd put out his initial, I want this, I thought, wow, there's something in this. But in terms of a data side of it, I think it'll be really good for the club to have him back in the fold, and to him to set up another structure of Sicet that'll be within the ethos that got us to the top, which is all pulling in the same direction, understanding our roles, and all respecting each other as well, all having that common aim, which I think is needed if we are going to do battle against three clubs that are backed by have resources beyond that wildest means. So I think it's, and also he's returning to a club now that has a match day revenue that can compete.
Well,
that has
true.
Turns over. I think it's a very good fold for him to come in, and I look forward. I now actually completely trust the rest of the process, to be honest with you. I know that sounds a bit farcical, but having Michael Edwards back, him designing the sporting director underneath him, he's already got Will Spearman in there, who's a phenomenal data scientist as it is.
Yeah.
He's got Fallows and Hunter. I can't see how we can't make the correct data-led evidence.
And the other PhD team. And the other PhD nerds.
Exactly. You've got the new manager team coming in. I just think it'll be this could be a really good time, or this could be the perfect tonic to recover from losing the enigma that is Klopp.
Yeah. I mean, this is my two penalties is obviously it's I didn't think it was going to happen. It is fantastic news, and people the Liverpool fan base on social media is weird. I mean, people saying it's all Klopp or it's all Edwards. It's the magic is the both of them together. It's the elite coaching with the elite operations, and and it's that, it's the Clough and Taylor. We're talking about Derby. Peter Taylor and Brian Clough. When they were apart, when they were individual, they weren't very successful at all. and they needed each other, but they were too, you know, it was just a shame that it all broke out and you know, broke up there. And it's the same with Klopp and Edwards.
United never recovered from losing their CEO, have they? Really?
No.
Since they've lost, I can't remember his name. Apologies, but David. Ken, is it? David Gill. Sorry. As soon as they lost him, you sort of lose that strategy, didn't you? And they start having an unbalanced approach to player recruitment and manager recruitment. I think this is a very good move for FSG, and the club should benefit, no doubt.
I think it was the best. I think it's the biggest single thing we could do to try and make sure that the post-Klopp transition, which is going to be very traumatic.
Yeah.
Goes, you know, to take as much risk out of that transition period as possible. I think this is the single biggest thing they could have done to try and take the risk
100%.
Out.
They're calculated gamblers, aren't they?
Yeah.
And they've paid top dollar to get a guy they know who delivers to make sure that the rest of the gambles are not gambles. They're higher percentage chance of success. And that's what you do. You put your money where you know you're going to reduce that risk, and that's what they've done.
Okay. What it does is it rebalances the structure as well. So we know over the past few years, Klopp and Pep Linders have had a larger say in sort of transfer policy and the direction. So players like Darwin Nunes, Luis Diaz, Pep Linders have found Portuguese players in the league, for example. But this sort of rebalances that. And when Liverpool were at the best, it was important that the sporting director was happy with the transfer, the scouts were happy with the transfer, the management staff were happy with the transfer, and the data team were happy with the transfer, and the board were. And only when you had all five sort of giving their thumbs up to it would they pull the trigger. Making sure that process is back and having a good, solid process overall is important. And that's particularly important because when you're losing, if you take the Manchester United example, that's really good because the classic English manager, and this is a problem that many managers face when they come from European clubs to English ones, and continental European clubs, that is they find that the role of manager is quite large and unwieldy, and there's a lot of responsibilities there. And if you take Klopp and you take Ferguson, these are two managers that not only sort of got used to that model, but actually increased their sort of purview within it. So trying to bring someone in to replace that is even harder. Because of all the things that come with it. And it's not just coaching the team, bringing an ethos, having a style of play. It's managing the club, representing Liverpool as a city, all that sort of stuff as well. So it's transfers as well. So when you can divvy that up before they're in, that puts the manager in a healthier position and with fewer and more clearly defined responsibilities. I think that's something that people may not sort of appreciate, but I think it's very important.
Yeah, and the other thing I think we will see more of now, again, is player sales. Players who still have value and sale value will be sold. We won't just hang on to them and let them contracts expire and run down for nothing. We'll go back to selling, I think, more.
But only if, as long as they don't sort of try and get a release clause. Emre Can,
Athletic
piece today, which was really good, tried to have a release clause and Michael Edwards said no. If you're on a release clause, we're just going to let your contract run down because the policy.
You can say, well, we're not going to have, that's our policy at LFC. You know, we're not going to do that. Fine. Yeah. Well, I mean, just generally with players who maybe are peak or just coming up to post peak. Yeah. We'd see sales rather than retention. Anyway. So I do have some other news, not so fun, I'm afraid, for listeners. We've had a change in from AnfieldIndex.com. Come down on the podcasting side. It's all to do with that advertising and the way our partners and stuff are doing it. But I've basically been told to say that we do have a new model in play for AI, which is free for 30. And if the podcast is more than 30 minutes long, more than 50 minutes long, you'll only get the first 30 minutes now free on the public side, and the rest of you will have to sign up to AI Pro. If it's less than 50-minute pod, you will get the full show as normal. So I do apologise for that, but if you're already on AI Pro, then thanks for, we're going to get a bumper pod out of this. So, and without further ado, we're going to do Spartaquag very quickly, very, very quickly. So Hamza, the Sparta, it was a fantastic result, but slightly stronger team than maybe we were thinking we were going to see. Well, certainly that I was expecting to see.
Yeah, I mean, one of the big surprises was that Salah was in the squad.
Yes.
And then he even got minutes as well. But yeah, this Klopp wants to win all the competitions and he wants to play strong teams because he doesn't want to mess around with it. So yeah, in goal, Kelleher retains his position because Alisson's injured. But a few surprise players, one of which I'm sure we'll come to, Gomez, Konate, Kwanzaa, Robertson, back four. So quite strong. Virgil gets a rest, but Konate doesn't. And in midfield, Elliot, Endo, McAllister. Again, Elliot has been playing a lot of minutes recently. Mm. McAllister, I think, as Si's already mentioned, is past his sort of career max. and Endo's a machine, but still has been playing a lot. And the front three, Diaz, Nunez, Gakpo, with Salah only just coming back and Jota out. There's not too many options there unless you want to put Elliot there and bring another midfielder in, one of the young midfielders. McConnell.
None of the real team. It's only Bradley didn't even start in this one either, did he? So it was a very experienced side. Not too many teenagers in this one. And Bart, I'm just going to come to you to just run through that Sparta 11 for us.
No chance.
The right winger is particularly useful. I thought, yeah. Bumanchevich. we're not going to come to you for the Sparta 11, luckily for everybody, before you butcher this. We are going to come to you for that match summary.
Yeah, no worries, just briefly, because it's Sparta Prague. 60-40 possession, 20 shots to 11 in our favour. We had 5 big chances to their 3, 2.75 XG to their 0.89. That includes a penalty for us, obviously. In terms of EPV, we had 0.96 to their 0.63, so we converted more of our EPV to XG. Passing completion, 89% to their 81, and field tilt 70-30 overall. And in terms of probability of winning, just to round that off, 81.5 to us, with the most probable score, 3-1.
I'm Alex Rodriguez.
And I'm Jason Kelly.
From Bloomberg, this is The Deal. Each week, you'll hear us in conversation with business icons.
This show will explore deal-making across sports, media, and entertainment.
That is a harsh lesson in business.
Sports is not as simple as bringing a bunch of big names together.
I didn't want to do another stomp you out speech.
It opened up so many more doors.
The show is called The Deal.
Listen to The Deal.
Listen to The Deal on Spotify.
I don't need a VPN. I've got nothing to hide. This is what I used to tell myself before I hooked up with LibertyShield.com. Not only is my home internet now fully encrypted, but I can now access all the websites I want, whenever I want, and do so from absolutely anywhere. As a Liverpool fan, I love to know I can now watch every match, regardless of whether it's on UK TV or not. My Liberty Shield VPN makes sure nothing is blocked and guarantees me super fast streaming speed throughout that match. You can get connected right now with their software package, which includes a 48-hour no-obligation free trial and instant access to their apps for Apple, Android, Fire TV, PC, Mac, and Android TV. Or go a step further like I have and get one of their pre-configured VPN routers. These small but powerful devices allow you to easily connect every device in your home to VPN, making it the perfect solution for smart TVs, Mac boxes, and games consoles. Visit LibertyShield.com today and use coupon code AIVPN25 to get 25% off at checkout.
Brilliant stuff. Now, Si, there's only one place to start in this match. We've been talking about it for the best part of 20 months. It's coming. It's here. The Darwin Núñez hot streak is here. What a fucking banger he scored in this match. Oh, two brilliant goals, to be fair. Si, reaction, please. Darwin, it's finally here.
yeah, great. But didn't he... Is this the game he screwed one up first? He got put through
in the first minute. Or so,
ran the keeper and then fluffed it. I've seen my son. My son is all over the Instagram and Twitter, and there's Twitter and TikTok, and there seem to be lots of memes of Darwin shaking off tap-ins and loving the glory of bangers. This was the game encapsulates him, didn't it? So he was very exciting. He scored what I was on pitch at the time, so I missed it. I got lots of messages coming like he scored two worldies, so I watched it back afterwards. And the first one, Gary Gillespie called at the time he called that a keeper straight away, and it was right down the keeper's throat. The keeper dived out of the way of it. It was bizarre, but it was you don't shoot, you don't score kind of thing. And then he scored a beautiful goal later on in the game, didn't he? From a unbelievable McAllister pass too.
Yeah. Just for the stats on this hot streak. So he's got 8 goals in his last 9 appearances. This is before City. 5 goals in his last 4, and he had 8 goals in his first 30 appearances this season. He's got 8 goals from his last 34 shots, which is a 24% conversion rate. And he had 8 goals from his first 87 shots this season, which is a 9.2% conversion rate. And the mad thing is, his XG per 90 has stayed broadly the same across the whole season. It's 0.88 during this hot streak, but he's managed to get 8 goals from his last 5.5 expected, which is 2.5 over. So hallelujah. Hallelujah.
Scored a couple of bangers. Keepers have helped him out a couple of times.
Yeah,
maybe that is the opposite of hitting the post. Who knows?
Keepers have made some good saves against them, to be fair. So so when he gets a couple of easy ones, yeah. The other player we need to praise in this match again, Hamza, is Quirin Kelleher. Another astonishingly good performance.
Yeah, a number of saves for him again. Last season, his form wasn't particularly great towards the end. I mean, he had a really tough match against Southampton last game of the season. And I think a lot of people saw that and went, oh, that's probably damaged his value in case the club wants to sell him. But now it's the complete opposite. He's been absolutely brilliant. And I'm just grabbing at the stats here. Made 6 saves at XG on target of 1.4. But there are a number of like really big opportunities that the Sparta Prague got.
He had 4 really good like saves from high XG shots.
We mentioned at the start of the season, I think, that if Liverpool want to win the league, a number of key players need to stay fit. One was Alisson, one was Van Dijk, and one was Salah. and somehow, even though all the science sort of pointed to those 3 things as being sort of immovable pillars of truth, somehow it just turns out Van Dijk needs to stay fit because Kelleher can. He's doing the job at the moment.
I mean, who saw that coming? I mean, we all quite liked him, but maybe Potsai was a bit more equivocal on it, to be fair. But I've always broadly liked him and stuff. But I mean, the numbers he's churned out are just astonishing. So he saved 27 of the last 30 shots on target since Alisson got his injury before Brentford. So 90% save ratio. Unbelievable. We touched on this on the last pod as well, but it continued in this match. He's opponents have only scored 2 of the last 17 big chances in all competitions. And Kelleher has saved 9 of the 17.
And 7 of the 9 were when the score was in the balance.
Was it really? That's even more impressive.
So he's doing what Ali was doing at the beginning of the season and what Mohamed was just saying about Mo, Virgil and Ali. That at the beginning of the season, Virgil was 6.
He was off.
It was only in November he started to pick it up. And he's been amazing since. And he looks like the best version of Virgil. But Ali and Mo together were in a compendium fight for player of the year, weren't they?
And then
bits and bobs of injuries came in, that Virgil's taken over and become the man. And as Darwin has kind of kicked in, as Mo's been out as well, which is great, but not as much in the league, but in all-round cups.
Yeah, and McAllister stepped up and Elliot's production stepped up, and yeah, there's been all kinds of people boosting. But just to finish off,
this is the game, Dan. This is the game that Harvey stat padded his production. I don't think his production's great. Harvey's been what Harvey is, really good facilitator, and worked his absolute nuts off. And now suddenly he's got 2 goals and 5 assists because he made 3 3-foot passes and somebody scored. That undermines the value of an assist. I'm not trying to discredit Harvey at all. I just want it. We're statistically to contextualize.
Yeah. But there was an article from Andrew Beasley a couple of weeks ago in Liverpool Echo, basically saying how many of Harvey's big chances created have been missed, mostly by Nunes. But yeah, so this is how these things equal up over the course of a season, isn't it, Si? They just balance out.
But he still isn't a high volume big chance creator. Trent's had Trent's had 3 times as many as Harvey missed, and Mo's had twice as many as Harvey missed. So he's made some, but that's literally his role in the team.
So yeah, one game has made Harvey now outperform his XA for the season. So there you go. So happy days.
Because his XA is really low.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
So just to finish off on Kelleher, though, right? In his 6 starts, 3 goals conceded, 8.6 expected goals on target faced. So that's 5.6 goals prevented. Now, the bad news is that's 0.93 per game. That's completely unsustainable. They'll be saving us a goal a game through his keeping. So, but yeah, they are just remarkable numbers. But the bad news from this game was the Ibrahima Konate injury just after half time. It was, a bit of a blow, should we say.
Yeah, I think he pulls up, doesn't he? And then
especially because we do make a change at half time, because Gomez goes off at half time.
He does. And I think we're all like, I don't know why he didn't just do the swap that he'd been doing previously in cup games. I think the only explanation I can have is that would have changed 2 out of the back 4 at the same time down the same side. If he changed the right back and Konate, that I don't know might produce more instability than Klopp wanted. He might have wanted him to go out, settle, and then have 5 minutes to then bring on Van Dijk. I don't know, but I couldn't think of a logical reason why the tactic you previously done in cup games of giving VVD and Konate a half each, he didn't just continue, other than maybe he didn't want to unbalance the back four too much. But it seems like, I mean, Marty was on Twitter, friend of the pod, saying it looked like just a standard hamstring slight pull. But Klopp was saying he should be back for United, which seems a little bit premature if it is a hamstring pull of any grade. But maybe he's right. Klopp's not lying.
Is that Marty Loughran?
Yeah, yeah. Maybe Klopp's is right.
XLFC physio now working for Tyrone GAA. Is that right?
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, right?
I got maybe, that right. Say
maybe Konate got it right, and he took himself off before it got worse. I don't know, but the weekend seems really early if it is any sort of hamstring injury. But I don't know what side thinks.
Say, you heard anything that thought? What did you see? I've been thinking about Konate's injury.
Look like a standard grade one, but he is not a fast healer, and he has massive hamstrings. So,
you know, it seems unlikely, doesn't it? If it's to have grade one,
it would seem that if your hamstring is, if a muscle is so, has so little damage that it will be recovered fully recovered in 10 days, I don't know what that risk reward matrix would play out on the side of risk for when you're playing Man City, if that makes sense.
Hmm.
So you're forsaking Man City
to play United.
Man United in the cup.
Yeah. I don't know. I think
only if we don't bring him back, then he's got his sick note for France, hasn't he, for international break?
That's what I'm thinking.
That's
what I because you know Kwanzaa's done all right, right? We can manage those minutes next to BBD against United and Sparta Prague for the next two, and then there's an international break, isn't it? Is that right? Or we've got another one after United?
Yeah.
It's the international break.
Right, so then you get Kwanzaa and BBD through that. Konate misses France, comes back refreshed. He should be fine for Brighton. And the running, which is key.
So Hamza's already mentioned the number of players breaking their career max and stuff like that this season. Konate wasn't on to break his max because he did do a big season with
Leipzig. No, he is on target to break his max.
Was he still on target? But he has played a lot this season in comparison to previous years, and it's still only the first week of March when he got injured. So he has played a lot, right?
Yeah. He is 152% of his career average, and there's still 30% of the season to go.
Yeah.
And he's likely to get European minutes as well for the Euros, right?
Yeah, exactly. His season's going to continue. So at this point, I think we just write it off as, okay, this is expected for him to pick up another niggle. This is his third injury of the season. It happens. And we've been kind of fortunate that he managed to get this many games without an injury.
Yeah, he's got 2,500 minutes in all comps, including club and country, by first week in February. And last year in the league, he total in 22, he had 2,100 for Liverpool. And the season before, the one we nearly did the plot, he had 2,500 total for Liverpool. So yeah, he's played a lot in comparison to what he's managed before, should we say.
Is that a good sign for future then, that he'll get to this level again? Yeah, maybe.
At this point, when tissues have been damaged this much, and he's a big physical unit, and yeah. So every time he makes a stride forward, that's a lot of impulse going through his joints. And it seems he has a history of them breaking. So my guess is, through experience of seeing these things, this is the trajectory of his career. You don't tend to be fragile up to 24 with little soft tissue injuries and then suddenly become robust to them. That's not a normal state of player's career.
So we might be sort of having to manage him for 2,500 minute seasons. That might be the best case we can do for the next 5 years.
I think he is going to be breaking three easy this season. So yeah. he could still break 3-2 or something around there. If you're aiming for 3,000 minutes from your four centre backs, you should be fine.
Yeah.
I think we still need to replace Matip is what probably the
Well, we did with Kwanza. We already replaced him.
No, but I'm saying in addition, I think you still need to have another one in the mix to rotate, is what I'm saying.
Well, we haven't been rotating Joe Gomez as a centre back. So Joe Gomez has played a career number of minutes whilst floating around all over the pitch. So if he'd have been in the rotation as a centre back, I think that might have mitigated the fatigue in Ibu.
So that's a kind of a semi-domino from Trent being injured, right? Because it meant Joe's had to play fullback, which means he can't rotate in midfield, which means Konate is highly likely to have picked up this injury.
And everyone got excited about Joe playing fullback and then centre back. And so we played Joe as a six instead of playing him as a centre back and giving Ibu a game off.
Yeah.
We just got so many games. Lads are going to get injured. I've been saying it all along. That's just the nature of the beast. Yeah. You can't complain about it. It's just the nature of the beast. They can't all play record minutes in a season.
No, not even VVD.
And if VVD can. But the point is, you're going to need 24 players that all do, and that's not possible.
Yeah.
Right, on to anything else, any more on Sparta?
Good to see Szobo score.
Absolutely. Off the bench as well. Him and Salah, Szobo and Salah off the bench. Good news, right?
Yeah, and Mo came back, looked sharp, scored, the bullshit taken off him.
Yeah. What was that about?
Wasn't it Cody offside in the middle?
Yeah, I was going to say, he wasn't even remotely close to interfering.
I thought the keeper couldn't see them, see the pass out to Mo. I think it's proper. I mean, I'm not saying it should have been given. The only plausible explanation was that Cody blocked the sight of the keeper, so he didn't see the pass until it was on Mo's foot.
I wonder if it's the AI.
Oh, yeah, because it's semi-automated. Yeah, right, okay.
Yeah, but he looked level.
No. If the Cody part.
Oh, sorry. Yeah, not Mo. Okay. That makes
semi-automated offside.
Yeah. In fairness, I'm all up for that.
If
they do that, and now we know that anybody offside, there's no ambiguous, subjective offside or not. Is he interfering or not? Because he is interfering. You can't be on a football pitch and not be interfering.
and right in front of the keeper. You just can't.
But that extra layer of and right in front of the keeper shouldn't be needed. If he's on the pitch interfering, if they're offside, they're offside. And I wonder if that the AI just called that. I didn't even notice that we had that he was there. So, but that makes sense. And yeah, sign him up, and then that gives us another league title because De Bruyne's goal against us a couple of seasons ago would get chalked off for Marie being right in front of the keeper.
Oh dear. Right. Okay. Right. We're going to go to the big one now.
Hey guys, it's Eddie Gibbs from Anfield Index here. I hope you're enjoying this podcast, and I'm sorry to call time on the show before it ends. In the current climate, it's tougher than ever before to offer podcasts for free. At Anfield Index, we produce over 75 free shows every month, which I'm confident is unparalleled in the LFC sphere. Whilst we'd love to offer everything for free, the production costs now make this impossible. That said, we don't want to follow the model of other channels and lock all of our content behind a paywall. So what we've decided to do is to continue offering every show for free, but cut that offering to 30 minutes on our longer shows. So to get all of our shows in full and enjoy the best of everything we have to offer, we really hope you'll consider supporting the channel and signing up at AnfieldIndexPro.com. For about the price of one cup of coffee, you'll get every podcast in full with zero ads. You'll also get access to our LFC VIP community, where you can enjoy live podcasts, engage with our podcasters, and chat with other Reds in real time. So that website again, AnfieldIndexPro.com. Join today.
Sports Social Podcast Network.